Philip Morgan.
Listen, hey man.
How you doing?
People are looking at my LinkedIn profile, so I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah, I'm glad. Do you see the cat? Do you see the cat? Make him make a noise, I wonder. Yeah, there we go. That's a good noise. Yeah, people are looking at your LinkedIn profile, which definitely means you're in demand, you're good looking, and you're rich and you're famous.
And people love me. Yep.
And doggone it, people like me. Lots of SNL references. So, Philip, are you going to promote something today?
Oh, shit. Right.
I love how this is a surprise to you every single time.
I swear I should know by now. Let me, why don't you go first? You order first. Okay. I'll look at the menu.
Sure. So what I will promote today is not the easiest thing to find, but, I've gotten such great feedback about it that I do want to mention it. And that is an article that I wrote for outreach.io about, being an entrepreneur and living with depression. I periodically get depressed, and this isn't tied to any revenue for me, obviously, but it's something that I want to share, and it's gotten amazing response. I've had over 3,000 views of it from my LinkedIn post the other day, and I got, a handful or maybe half a dozen responses from my email list. So if you haven't seen that article, if you just Google outreach.io and my name Liston and depression, you'll definitely find it. That's probably the easiest way to find it. But if depression has ever affected you or someone you know, maybe there's something you can learn from my experience. I'm not a doctor, but it's just my experience. So that's what I'd like to promote.
It's a very good article. I read it. And it does, in fact, come up first when you Google for outreach.io Liston depression. I'd like to promote specializationschool.com, which will redirect you to a page on my site. I have just made some tiny little improvements to that webpage recently. It does a slightly better job now of describing this thing that I'm building, which I am simultaneously terrified and over the moon excited about. Terrified because I'm investing into this.
Yes.
So it better fucking work. And I think it offers great value. I think it's a very unique thing. It's just, it's new and untested, but I'm excited about it because it formalizes what I've done in a sort of ad hoc way with lots of people and makes it a process that I think is going to produce better results for folks. So I would like folks to check out specializationschool.com if they feel so inclined.
Love that URL.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, go check it out. And Philip, today I've been doing something a little crazy.
What?
When I talk to people and I tell them how much content I produce on a regular basis, uh-huh. They sort of look at me like, what's wrong with you?
Right.
Which I think is the proper response.
Right.
And one of the things I've been doing is something I've promoted in previous episodes, which is salesin30.com. And before we started chatting here and recording, you mentioned that you've never asked me, what in the heck am I doing on LinkedIn? Because I mentioned I was contacted with an inbound message request for a phone call today, and it went really well, and it looks like I may get a client out of that. And so you were asking, what the heck is this thing all about?
Yeah, you keep referring to it as the LinkedIn experiment, which I love. And I realize that you describe various facets of it, but I don't think you ever walked me through the whole thing end to end or broke it down for me. So I was hoping that for the folks at home, you could say, what the heck is the LinkedIn experiment? Or rather, the Liston LinkedIn experiment.
Okay, so I trust you're going to jump in here and interrupt me anytime it's not clear, because I'm so close to this that I'm almost certain that I'm going to get it jumbled or get lost in the weeds.
Oh, yeah. You believe that. I am going to interrupt you.
Well, that's definitely your job here. So, all right. So let me start with just a little disclaimer, and that is I don't believe that there is any panacea when it comes to generating leads or making more sales in your business. So what I don't want you to do when you're listening to this is think, oh, this is the best new system and Liston's promoting it and I should run out and do it, because that's not my opinion.
Crap. I am quitting this podcast, Liston.
Should we just hang up now?
Let's just forget it. I was hoping for a magic bullet. You have let me down. But continue.
What I have realized is occasionally when I talk about these things, the conclusion people get is, oh, so I should just do this right now? And I'm like, no, I'm not saying that. So anyway, I wanted to put that out there. Yeah. What I thought about when I tried this was a couple things. It's an amalgamation of something that I learned from our mutual friend, Jake Jorgevan. Uh-huh. And he took some LinkedIn prospecting techniques from John Nemo and Josh Turner and some other people who've been promoting these LinkedIn ways, using LinkedIn as a channel to create prospects. Mm-hmm. I also combine that with the use of LinkedIn as a content channel that I saw this other gentleman do, named, I'm sure I don't remember his last name, Jake something, but if you look up hashtag Brandon30, all one word on LinkedIn, you can find his videos. Okay. And so here's what I was thinking. I thought my clients are probably on LinkedIn, A. B, I feel that video is one of the absolute best ways for me to quickly build trust with my target market. Yep. If I'm selling coaching, I need someone to believe, maybe not believe, but understand who I am as a person and what it might be like to work with me. Yep. And video is a great way to help people understand that. Not only that, I had a decent sized LinkedIn footprint and I really understood the channel well. Mm-hmm. So when I started out, here was the goal. My stated goal of the LinkedIn experiment was, I'm going to produce a video every day for 30 days. So I went in and I created a quick 2-minute video and I said, hey, I'm thinking about doing this sales course, free video every day for 30 days. All you have to do is comment in order to get it. Much to my surprise, that post got something like, I don't know, 100 and something comments and like 8,000 views over the weekend. I posted it on a Wednesday and it ended up getting like 8,000 views.
Oh, wow.
And my reaction was, oh shit, I guess I have to make it. So, cause I didn't expect that. So experiment number one, would anybody care to see videos from Liston on LinkedIn? Okay. Check. Right. I've rejected the null hypothesis, which is no.
We're seeing what looks to me like a nicely done lean experiment, you know. Huh? I just want to throw that out there.
Well, okay, so far
looking so far so good, loving it.
Okay. So I started creating these videos. So I laid out this process by which I was going to create videos, and like I said, my stated goal was to do a new video every day. Which, if you've never worked with video or you've never written on a regular basis, I would not recommend you do this because there's a certain amount of media creation skills and also speed by which you need to operate in order to execute something like this, which is not to say I'm special, just that I've had lots of experience with media production.
Yeah, but there's a small learning curve for sure.
Yeah, probably more than a small learning curve, but what I realized, so I was going to do it every day. And what I realized when I put up the first post is that it continued to gain traction every day for about 6 days.
What do you mean gain traction?
So in other words, I post the first video and the first day I had like 30 comments and 8 likes and like a 1500 or 2000 views. And I was like, oh my God, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. Right. And then the next day it all doubled. And it continued to accrue comments and likes and views at a pretty rapid pace, at a similar pace to the first 24 hours for, say, 5 days.
Okay. And then it started tapering off after that?
Correct.
Okay. Got it.
So what does this tell me? This tells me that content that does well on LinkedIn will have a fairly long shelf life. Mm-hmm. They're going to continue to show it to people, particularly because people on average only log in every 2 weeks, right? So, you know, Twitter is very much a fire hose, but you're better served on LinkedIn to do better posts less often.
Okay.
Because it's going to increase the likelihood that people see it.
Okay.
So with that information, I said, well, I'm already going to break my first promise. I'm not going to do a video every day. And instead, what I did was I thought, okay, 30 days, how am I going to break this down? And so I said, okay, there's basically five topics that I want to teach people. Uh-huh. So they're off the top of my head, I think they're mindset, process, lead generation, sales conversations, and negotiation. Uh-huh. I think I called it closing, and it's like, negotiation and something else.
Right.
Now that gives me a nice, neat schedule, right? Uh-huh. I have 10, I have 5 weeks, five topics, two videos per week. Mm-hmm. Okay. That solves a big problem right off the bat. Mm-hmm. 'Cause it's like, how am I going to structure this? And so I started producing those videos and I noticed something else. I was not getting nearly the amount of views. I left out a critical detail.
Okay.
So when I put up the first 2 minute video, hopefully this isn't too much information.
Right, right.
When I put up the first 2 minute video, I told people the call to action was comment on this thread and I will add you to a private messaging thread in LinkedIn.
Okay.
And I'll ping you whenever a new video goes up.
Uh-huh.
So that's why I was able to drive so many comments, is because I had a call to action to comment on the post.
Okay.
Okay. So that was one of the reasons it got so many views. But also, the video was only 2 minutes. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is a critical detail. Okay. So I go off, everybody comments on it. In the background, I manually, by hand, build two lists of 50 or so people. So I have 100 people who I'm directly messaging every time a new video comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what I realized when I post the first video, which was about 10 minutes, first thing I realized was there's a 10-minute limit on LinkedIn, which I didn't know. So I had to reshoot the first video. Nice. I'm all prepared, like it's day one of sales in 30, and I'm like, fuck, I can't post this.
Right.
So go back and redo that whole thing. But I also believe that LinkedIn is favoring people who watch a higher percentage of your video.
Okay.
And it's using that as an engagement metric, which means it makes much more sense to post short videos than long videos because the videos got less views over time. Now, I'd say on average, I've posted 7 videos to date. At the time of this recording, I'm recording or going to post video number 8 tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
I'd say on average, they get between 1,000 and 3,000 views. So not shabby, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and a view is anybody who watches over 3 seconds.
Okay.
But something really interesting started happening.
Uh-huh.
People who I'm not connected to, my second and third connections, started commenting and messaging me and reaching out to connect with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, oh, interesting. Like, I didn't expect that.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, huh, my content is, it's doing the job that I wanted it to,
right,
which was to give me access to an audience.
Right.
Now, originally I didn't have a, you know, I had this guy ask me this the other day. He goes, how do you calculate your ROI of your LinkedIn activity?
Uh-huh.
And I was like, boy, I'm stumped. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Right. Like I wouldn't even know how to go about that. Right.
Right.
Well, that's not true. I would know how to go about that, but I'm not measuring the things I would need to measure. And that wasn't my goal anyway.
Right.
So I continue to post these videos. All the while in the background, I'm using something called linkedhelper.com. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Where I'm proactively going and visiting people's profiles and growing my network through connection requests.
Right.
And the idea being, I'm getting all of this attention on my content. Now's a good time to start connecting with new people who could then interact with my content, which they're more likely to see because a lot of other people are looking at it too.
Right.
So think about it as maybe greasing the wheels a little bit. So in this time, I have the number somewhere, but I think I've grown my network by 400 or 500 connections during this experiment. Partially as like when people comment, I'll just add them. But it's also inspiring lots of new conversations. And so here's the basic model, right? On the one hand, I have content. I have something to share with people. Now I need people to see that,
right?
The way that they see that is I'm asking them through calls to action to comment or watch the videos, right? I'm also messaging a core group of people who already said they want my content. They go and watch it. The more engagement I get early on, especially in the first hour, the more likely LinkedIn is to show other people my content,
right?
All the while I'm growing my network. And when any of my first degree connections see my content, the algorithm is likely to show it to their first degree connections who are my second degree connections.
Right.
They comment, I add them. So it's this process of growing and growing and growing, right?
Yeah.
And what I've seen is there's a loyalty, there's like a core loyalty of people who comment on this. And so like I saw one guy comment twice on two different videos who I was not connected to and didn't know. Now I know he's watching my videos because he's like, man, these videos are great. It's just what I need to see right now. And some people will even tell me specifically, oh, I've been having problems with this specific thing you're talking about. Well, is there a better way to start a conversation over LinkedIn than replying to that person and say, hey, can you tell me more about that? Not only that, I'm the guy from the video. I'm like partially internet famous to this person.
Right.
So, you know, I've found that it is a fantastic way of generating a lot of interest from a lot of people and building a ton of trust. So mission accomplished on that front.
Right.
My maintenance plan for LinkedIn will be very different.
Okay.
My maintenance plan will be just posts, no video, because there's an easy way to get lots of views on those. Or maybe if I do a video, 2 minutes or less for sure.
Okay.
Because I think LinkedIn is considering what percentage of the video is being watched and therefore how engaged are people, which is, if you make a 10-minute video, not a good thing to set yourself up for.
Okay, right.
Is your mind numb, Philip?
It's my mind's blown a little bit. I'm still trying to shake this kind of old hatred for LinkedIn.
Okay, tell me about that.
And I wonder if some of the folks at home might share that. I know that, like, you know, if you want to just get an easy, cheap laugh out of a software developer, you just make a joke about LinkedIn or how often they email you or it fits that category of software that you love to hate.
Well, I think it also, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but for people who skew a little bit more introverted, it sort of reminds them of the worst version of a conference or networking event they could attend.
Right. But so that's like my old perception, which I'm still trying to shake because of things like what you just said and the fact that when I'm working with people and they're doing outreach for the purposes of market research, even before they get to sales, LinkedIn is often way more effective at being a place where you can get a response from people who don't know you. Like it seems more effective than email. So, and you know, I had Jake on the DevShop marketing briefing thing, and he was talking about the wonderful results he's getting. So I feel like I've unfairly dismissed it. And so I do have questions.
Oh, I'm ready.
How concerned are you that LinkedIn is going to make some change and it's just going to like totally undermine the investments that you've put into it?
Okay. So there's a lot packed in there.
Mm-hmm.
So for sure, they're going to have to do something to limit what people like Jake are doing,
mm-hmm.
right? And what I mean by that is people who are using LinkedIn in the way you would use outbound email, where you're like, dump 100 people in and let's hope some magic happens, right?
Run them through a sequence where yes. it's, you know, largely automated.
So like, for instance, I have this robot running in the background, mm-hmm. linkedhelper.com, which yeah. is amazing for $15, but yeah. it requires maintenance.
Right.
What is the likelihood that a human being every day, day after day, is going to visit 250 profiles
on the nose
and directly message and connect with 100 people? Right. I mean, come on.
That's
right.
That is one heck of a consistent human being.
Yes. Like, wow, what a lonely person. Drinking a lot of Mountain Dew, I see.
Pretty easy to spot that type of activity.
Exactly. So now, will they... So on the one hand, you know, they're going to change how much activity can happen. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a virtual guarantee. I don't know.
Okay.
You know, like Jason Fried tweeted yesterday, he goes, LinkedIn should change their name to, can I have a 15-minute call?
I saw that. That made me laugh too. And it's funny because I advise that people use it exactly the way that he's joking that he hates about it, I guess. But yeah, anyway, that was hilarious.
Well, and so there's going to be more of an art to it. Just like, you know, when Aaron Ross wrote Predictable Revenue and he was like, just send this email and like, you know, you'll get great results. Well, yeah, until everybody gets a bunch of those emails or has seen that exact email,
yeah,
it'll work. Yeah. But, you know, so you're going to have to become... The law of
shitty click-throughs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're like, people who are really good at it and understand it strategically will continue to win, but it's going to weed out anybody who's not a student of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think LinkedIn will go the same direction.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so that's the one side is, could I continually strategically grow my network quickly in a proactive way? Yeah. And I think eventually the answer will be yes, but much less.
Okay.
Now, the second side of it is, would they do, I think you're implying, would they do something to shut down or limit the reach of my content?
Yeah, that's the other aspect of it is, as far as I can tell, LinkedIn clearly is trying to make it a content platform the way Facebook is, not just, you know, connecting.
Well, yeah, because they want you to be on there.
Messaging, right, yeah. So it seems like they're doing the same kind of stuff Facebook is. But I, you know, I always get nervous about when someone else owns the platform.
Right. So there's a couple problems that they're facing right now, and I'll illustrate this with an example.
Mm-hmm.
So have you heard of the company Drift? They make a online chat
yes.
widget,
yes,
I have. And they have sales email, and now they just release marketing email. So they clearly have an internal initiative to promote themselves through LinkedIn, particularly through, you know, short little 10 to 30 second clips with various okay. members of their team.
Okay.
So here's what they're doing to game the LinkedIn algorithm. Okay. Mm-hmm. They just released on Product Hunt this new marketing email product. So what they do is, I'm guessing they had some internal training, but a bunch of people on their team will create these short videos and post them to their LinkedIn feed mm-hmm. where they're talking about the new marketing email product. I'm connected to none of them,
mm-hmm.
but I'm connected to David, the CEO.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm connected to Dave, the director of marketing.
Mm-hmm.
So what Dave and David both do is they'll go and either like or comment on everything that happens in the company.
Mm-hmm.
Now I see everyone else's posts.
Mm-hmm.
So what they're doing essentially is they're not expanding their network by, you know, one, they're expanding their network exponentially. Because everybody collectively now are pooling their second and third degree connections. And if I made the mistake of interacting with any of Jeff's content, I'm going to see everything. that happens. So that's a problem.
Right.
Because the company right now, like Drift, yeah, they can create a strategy whereby they absolutely dominate my feed.
Right.
Right. I see like 20 posts, but I'm only connected to two people. So that's an issue.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I think that if I were LinkedIn, I would also say there's some really useful stuff happening here. Now, it's going the way of Facebook in that if I post something controversial, like I post my depression article, which I wouldn't say is controversial, but it's personal, right? It's much more emotional.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, how to start five conversations on LinkedIn next week, which is the purpose of this podcast, apparently. But because it was more emotional, I got like 2,000 views in less than 24 hours. I saw one guy who posted a thing about, you know, women in tech and their, you know, I don't want to go into it, but it was definitely like, you know, he even included a hashtag Me Too, right? And he was trying to be very controversial about gender issues in Silicon Valley.
Okay.
That posted really well.
Yeah, yeah.
So I do think LinkedIn will have a challenge in grappling with things that are not business related because people respond to them more.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
How do you think it compares to something like Medium? I mean, there's obviously clear differences, like Medium is not a quote unquote social network, but thinking about it as a platform for gaining attention for, you know, stuff you've created, content you've created, how do you think it stacks up against something like Medium?
Well, totally different purpose. So when I go to Medium, I expect to spend 5 to 30 minutes reading an article.
Right.
On LinkedIn, it's basically like they set up a, an expectation similar to Twitter. Okay. I'm just going to, or Facebook, I'm just going to browse through the feed and like whatever catches my attention, I'll stop for a second and then keep going.
Okay.
LinkedIn spent a lot of money and time on their those posts or their articles, and it's pretty much dead. Like, whenever I post an article there, it gets, like, I had, just to put it in context, I posted an article that only has 30 views, and every other person who read it liked it.
Okay.
To me, that's amazing engagement.
Yeah.
Right? But it only has 30 views. It's not showing it to more people.
Right.
Which clearly they're favoring the status updates.
Okay.
Because you can get people touching a button more. They're clicking more. They're interacting it. They're going to the next thing.
Yeah.
Right. And the more active you can make someone, sadly, this is, as my friend said, the best minds in the world used to think about things like how to build America. Right.
Yeah.
And now they're thinking about how can I get you to stay on the site for 3 extra seconds?
Right.
But that's exactly why they're favoring this shorter form, quick hit content.
Okay. So that's what plays well on LinkedIn. And there's a sort of easy path to a conversation or a chat style conversation, right?
Yes.
And so
not only that, you know, if the person is available right now to chat with you.
Oh, because of some presence indicator, like a little green dot or something that says they're online?
It is the green dot.
Okay. Yep. Okay. So, wow. How do you, I mean, I can't help but kind of compare this to other forms of like borrowing an audience.
That's exactly what it is. I just looked at it as a, you know, now after this experiment, I just look at it as a content channel, but you better know what you're doing and you better know how you're going to use it. Right. So like I was having a conversation with someone today and she was asking me at what point would I be ready for your coaching services? And I said, well, I think what you really need to think about is how can you develop a consistent lead channel? And it's not enough to say, oh, LinkedIn, right? It's like, well, how do I initiate conversations that include trust? How do I, you know, find people? How do I, like, there's all these things. And so, yeah, I was, after doing this experiment, it's clear to me that I want to use LinkedIn as a content channel, not as in the way Jake's using it, which is kind of a proactive outbound thing. And this, to me, those conversations are not only difficult, but typically uncomfortable for everybody involved.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference in what I'm doing is if I just keep posting and people keep seeing my name, then the likelihood that they interact with something of mine, now I can proactively message them and say, hey, I saw you mention this on this topic that I posted. Do you want to chat about it? And most times when I do that, people say yes.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. And that's just something you can't, I'm trying to think, is there, other than Facebook, which has a similar kind of structure, I can't.
But I hate it so much.
Yeah. I can't think of another place where you can do that. Like I guess you could do that on Twitter with direct messages. You know, like you see someone retweets your thing and you're like, hey, do you want to talk about that? But it's a little more clunky or not quite as the transition from seeing that they engaged with or shared something to messaging them is not quite as smooth there or doesn't feel as smooth. Well, it's interesting. Here's my last question. So why do you think video is so great for you and so fast at building trust? Because I also agree, like if video likes you, it's really powerful. And if video doesn't like you, you should consider audio because for the same reasons that video is effective. But why do you think it's so fast at building trust?
Well, so yeah, I mean, I agree with you. Like video's tricky. So you have to come across a certain way for video to work for you. And, you know, we've had this conversation where you feel like audio is a better medium for you.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's another graduation. And so what I mean by that is ultimately I want to build my business on my writing and my thought. I hate thought leadership, but
On the words thought leadership.
On my ideas. Let's say that. Right. And so my ideas can definitely be, anything I do in a video could be communicated through the written word. If I go from the written word to audio, now you get a sense of how fast does Liston talk? Does he seem confident? Is he well-spoken?
Mm-hmm.
Does he seem like someone that I could relate to? And would I even enjoy talking to him? If we move from audio up to video, now you actually see me. My facial expressions, my body language, the way I move, right? It's adding a whole new dimension to the whole thing. And so, you know, I'm not making like a better or worse statement. I'm just saying, you know, I think what it does so well is it's, in my perfect world, I could have someone sitting next to me right now and I know they'd be sold on working with me, right? I guarantee it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's...
Video is the closest thing to that. I'm sorry to cut you off.
Oh, I'm sorry. I cut you off. I think people kind of get a feel very quickly for whether you're comfortable in your own skin.
Right.
You and I think have talked a little bit about Brad Martineau, and that guy's like freaky good at video. Like freaky good. I've not seen any other entrepreneur... I don't know. Maybe Gary Vaynerchuk is similarly good on video. I don't really pay much attention to his work, but I know. Yeah, I know. But Brad Martineau, he's got like this intensity. He connects with, I mean, mechanically the camera, but by extension, the viewer of the video in this way that I've not seen. I mean, all the best TV people can do that, but I haven't seen a lot of people who aren't professional TV personalities can do it that well. I don't know if he had to learn that or if he's just naturally good at it or what, but you're like, wow, this guy is like so comfortable and he's like so in control. And I'm not trying to insult the guy at all, but it's because what I'm really saying is not everybody has to be able to do that. I think there's a medium that will work for almost anybody unless you just hate writing, talking, in which case you're kind of screwed. I don't know what you're going to do. Post memes, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to build a business that's dependent upon your ideas and your personality, and you want a large pipeline and a diversity of people that you reach, you need some sort of broadcast channel. You have to get good at something.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's just no way around that.
Yeah. I was like, you got to pick something and get better than average at it. I would say that's the minimum, you know, like,
yeah,
you're better than average writer, better than average speaker, even if it's prepared speaking, you know, that works too. You don't have to be a brilliant off the cuff speaker, but yeah, you have to. Without those, what are you going to do? I guess you're going to like try to do what we said not to do a few episodes ago and delegate it to somebody else, make it somebody else's job and problem.
Well, I mean, you could hire a ghostwriter to write a book for you.
I sort of did that with my content Sherpa. I sort of was people's ghostwriter. I thought that would be a great service, and ultimately, I stopped believing in my own freaking business model. I think is part of why I wound that down, was I just felt like it's so much more powerful if this person has ideas that they think are impactful and they can rep those ideas somehow themselves. It's much more powerful than a ghostwriter doing it for them.
Well, right. So when I was doing my short stint as a HubSpot partner and I was doing content marketing, I had conversations with other successful agency owners, and I'd ask them about that, right? How are you going to create content for someone else without them having some inkling or strong position, like where how they want to position themselves in the market? Like, what do you say, right? I can write anything, but what do you say? Like, what is the core idea there?
Yeah.
And one of them said to me, he said, you know, I only work with people with a strong opinion. And he's like, for this exact reason.
Yeah.
If someone says, oh, I can serve these five industries and we do this, but we'd also do that.
Yeah.
He's like, no. I need people who say, this is the way we do it. This is who we do it for. Yeah. Which just means ultimately, you know, there's going to be a small fit, but I think it does prove the point. You can't outsource that core. What is that core idea or that core positioning or that core marketing strategy for you and your business? You can't delegate that. You need to have the vision.
I think there was a time on the internet when you could be, you know, running, who's that guy who was like the famous content marketing success story? I don't know, 10 years ago, did like the pool service business.
Oh, Marcus Sheridan.
Okay. Like there's a time, maybe he's not a good example, but when you could be like his competitor and in a different market, and all you really had to do was like write some crappy articles about pool maintenance and, you know, the world was your oyster for 3 or 5 years. When it was a very different
internet.
But
you're talking about someone who wrote about pool maintenance.
Well, my example kind of collapsed under itself. Because that guy was like crazy good, or he made these really interesting videos, or he did something that really set himself apart.
Yeah.
I'm saying that, I don't know, again, 10 years ago, you could be like a dry cleaner and write a few very uninspired articles about garment care. And that would be enough to actually deliver on the promise of content marketing, you know, the promise that HubSpot was selling 5 years ago.
Well, right, exactly. So, you know, one of the reasons I wanted to be a little bit bullish on LinkedIn is it felt like it's not too late, right?
Yeah.
Whereas if my core strategy was to just blog every day or every week, it's really difficult to rank for a blog without having some other way of getting people to your site and sharing your content and being aware of what you're doing.
Yeah.
One critical thing I wanted to mention here, Philip, is that LinkedIn is not the destination I want for people. My goal on LinkedIn is to either have a phone call or get them to sign up for my email list. So that's kind of the next thing I need to figure out is, how can I routinely get people onto my email list? And I think it'll just be, I'll produce some sort of download and it'll send them to a landing page. It'll be a simple thing, right? Like
good old lead magnet.
Yeah. It'll be a lead magnet basically.
Yeah.
And now I can be in their inbox.
Yeah.
Right. In addition to them seeing me on LinkedIn every week.
Okay.
So
it really is kind of a lead gen strategy for you, either creating email leads or phone calls, people who are a little further along in terms of need and awareness and so forth.
It is, yeah. And it's not strictly inbound or outbound, but I would say I'm trying to favor letting content do the work for me so that when I talk to people, they're basically sold on me as a person.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of, is now the right time for me to do this, or do I really want to spend the money on it? But they're already like, yeah, if I could work with Liston, that would be great. That's exactly the kind of feeling that I want before I get on the phone with folks.
Well, there's a part of me that cannot help but circle back to where we started out and the warning that we said and say,
yes.
Is this something that's repeatable maybe for other people? Yeah, it's not a magic bullet. It's not the only one thing. You don't need to drop everything else and do just this. But do you see it as something someone could try, at least try the same experiment for themselves, filter through their own business and personality and so forth?
Sure. So here's what I needed in order to have this be as successful as it's been, yeah. Which I'm sure there are ways I could have done this much more effectively. But I needed to be able to write and produce videos on a regular basis. I needed to publish on a schedule. I needed to grow my network. I needed to actively respond to people.
Mm-hmm.
I needed to have ways of getting people to sign up to my email list. And I needed to spend probably on average at least an hour a day on LinkedIn.
Okay. Oh, that's in addition to creating the content and all that other stuff. That's just correct. Like the moving parts of connecting with people and yada, yada.
Keeping my robot humming. Yeah. Responding to messages, setting up calls. And I don't think I've tallied exactly how many leads or calls I've gotten out of it. I'd say it's picking up now because this is the fourth week.
Yeah.
I'd say it's probably, I don't know, 6 or 7 phone calls I've gotten as a result of this. And two asked me about pricing on the first call. Mm. So those are pretty strong.
Yeah, that's a good sign. Interesting. That's awesome, man.
Yeah. So there you go. That's my whole story and I'm sticking to it.
I'd call it a success.
Yeah, I think so. I think I've learned so much about what works and what doesn't. So what I'm hoping is if I continue to just kind of be more in maintenance mode for a year, I can't imagine a situation where I'm not getting, probably tens of thousands or more views on my posts eventually. Like I have a friend, this guy, Dylan, and he's gotten like hundreds of thousands of views and hundreds of comments on some of his posts. And it's just been fantastic for his business. Mm. Right. What you don't want to do is say, this is my only way to get leads. That would be a bad thing to do.
I'm going to send you, you mentioned this guy, Brandon 30, Jake something, not Jake Jorgeven, but this other guy. Here's the website I found when I tried to find.
Jake Jordan, yeah.
Yeah, look at the website though.
Jake Jordan, is that the guy?
I don't think so. I think it's somebody with the same name.
No, Philip. Okay, so this is Captain Jake Jordan, world-class angler. Welcome to Jake Jordan's Fishing Adventures.
P.O. Box.
Custom sport fishing charters, travel, and fly fishing schools.
P.O. Box 39, Havelock, North Carolina. Yeah, so
Did you know, Philip, that he is the proud founder and host of the Bonefish School?
Wow. This is kind of cool.
Quite impressed.
This guy's living the life.
Totally. So that's not the Jake Jordan I was referring to.
Yeah, maybe a link in the show notes would be more effective than I was at finding this. Some of these people. I don't know if you feel like it. I think that could be cool to link to some of these folks in the show notes.
Yeah, totally. I will. All right, man. Did we do it, Philip? Did we cover everything?
That is one heck of an experiment. And thanks for sharing it with me and the folks at home. That's super interesting. I keep thinking, okay, one of these days, what I'm doing is going to stop working as well as it is, and I'll need to look at other ways of getting my ideas out in the world and maybe LinkedIn will play a role there.
You know, I just look at it as, yeah, there's just going to be new ways of executing the same strategy, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Like the tactics will change, the strategy will remain. You need people to see your message. The message has to kick ass, and you have to give them an offer, some reason to say yes to you.
I can say that I gravitate towards stuff where there's not this sense of like a gatekeeper. I got so quickly turned off to Product Hunt when that seemed to be like the place where you had to, I don't know, anytime you published a podcast episode, you got to put it on Product Hunt and get a signal boost there. And it just started pissing me off because it felt like a gatekeeper.
Mm-hmm. Of course, they shut that down. The podcast part of it.
Right. Yeah. They did. But I mean, I guess that's sort of neither here nor there, but I just, I like that right now the gatekeeper in LinkedIn seems to be a pretty easily gamed algorithm. Uh-huh. Used to be that way with Hacker News and, you know, other places you could pretty easily game those algorithms. Actually, the iTunes podcast directory had a pretty easily gamed algorithm for getting in new and noteworthy, which is no longer the case now. I think there's humans involved in deciding who gets featured there.
Right. Yeah. Well, if there is a system, someone will try to cheat it.
That's for sure. Yeah. All right, you guys go out and try to game the LinkedIn system. All 40 of our listeners. Good to talk to you, Liston.
Good to talk to you too, Philip. I'll see you later.
Bye.